You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As we said, we're going to kick off with markets and how the markets have been moving. On a day where you'd think it would be a quiet day of movements, it wasn't. It was anything but that. I'm joined on the line by the portfolio manager and director of Rand Swiss, Gary Boysen, to take a look at this and see if we can understand what's been happening. Good evening, Gary. Lovely to catch up with you. The last week of effectively the trading year, particularly in South Africa's case, next week would be on the Christmas break. You'd think it would be a quiet day. It really wasn't.
Yeah, it really wasn't a quiet day. A lot of movement underneath. And I don't know if it is maybe a little bit of volume coming out of the market as well. And you tend to get those exaggerated price movements. But yeah, the All Share Index finishing down just a touch below 1.6%. The Resource Index leading us lower, that almost 2.5% down. Industrials also slipping throughout the day, finishing over 1% lower. And the Financial Index getting absolutely smashed, down 2%. And, you know, this was in line, with some of the European markets. We had the DAX off slightly, in Germany. The FTSE was also down about 0.66%. Paris actually bucked the trend. They were up 0.25%, but S&P 500 and NASDAQ each down about 1/3 at the moment. So I think a little bit of jitters ahead of that Fed announcement tomorrow. You know, we've been chatting about it in our research meetings as well. You know, the idea that, with Trump coming in, we might have, inflationary policy coming through, and we might have Jerome Powell being a little bit more pessimistic and holding interest rates a little bit higher for longer than the market expected. And I think we're certainly seeing that in the yields at the moment. And the equity market also feeling a little bit of fear and selling off aggressively. You know, with the risk off trade, we've also seen that impacting the currency. So an absolutely massive move on the rand today, all on the rand dollar pair at least, from about 17.82 this morning out to 18.14 currently. That's a big move ahead of the end of the year. We all, obviously, those calendar year allowances will reset.
Mm. Gary, before we get into the rand, I mean, the Fed conversation is quite an important one as well. I mean, we have been pricing in rate cuts. And I remember at the start of the year, what was it? Six, seven rate cuts? You and I spoke about that. And then towards the end of the year, we were just hopeful to get one. So I guess it has really been a very interesting direction that the Fed has taken. And tomorrow being the last rate announcement, of course, markets might be, as you said, wanting to take a bit of risk off the table. But part of that could also be that the uncertainty that goes into 2025 is a new type of uncertainty. So we've dealt with all the different types of uncertainties, and now we're dealing with a second presidential term from a gentleman who, in his first presidential term, moved the markets on a social media platform.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you said, I think what interest rates and the Fed is always data dependent. They're always looking at the data. And if inflation didn't come out down as quickly as everyone hoped, of course, interest rates weren't going to come down that quickly either. So we did obviously see the front loading of first interest rate cuts. Markets got very excited about the 50 basis points that they got at the beginning. They've had another 25 basis points. And obviously we have the Fed meeting again tomorrow, and we'll get the decision tomorrow evening. And overwhelmingly, the expectation is that that there will be another 25 basis point cut. So Fed funds futures are pricing around a 95% chance that we're going to get a cut, about 5% chance that there's no cut. But if you look a little bit deeper out towards the January meeting, 19th of March meeting, the 7th of Feb meeting, you start to see a picture where this does look like we're going to get a cut and a pause and a cut and a pause. So that's where the market is thinking that the Fed is going to be a little bit more conservative until they see, as you say, what does the Trump administration do? What do what happens between the U.S.-China relations? You know, what kind of tariffs are going to go onto trading partners? You know, there's a lot of uncertainty around this new administration, and I mean, we understand that Donald Trump and is transactional. So I think a lot of this is posturing. I think it's going to be one of the key themes for 2025 is how much of the rhetoric is just rhetoric and almost a negotiating tactic, and how much translates into real, you know, punitive tariffs and big regulatory changes that can be made by the executives. So I think that is going to be a key theme next year. But it's not just the Trump administration. We have I suppose a couple of other things that are also at play at the moment. I mean, obviously, we've got the geopolitical space. You've got, obviously, conflicts in the Middle East at the moment, conflicts in Eastern Europe as well. Any real escalation of those could result in supply chain disruptions. That could easily be inflationary. You'll remember when the Russia-Ukraine war broke out originally and just the disruption that we saw in the soft commodity space and how that impacts inflation numbers. That could be independent of America's interference in Eastern Europe, and that really still is a significant risk for markets, I think, going into 2025, and could enhance increase inflation and obviously put a bit of a dampener on the lower rate environment everyone's hoping for.
Speaking of risks going into 2025, Gary, what else are you kind of seeing? I mean, obviously those geopolitical risks, some of them have been with us for quite a number of months up to now, so it's not really something that we think might be new going into next year. But what are some of the risks that you're seeing from an asset management point of view and saying, hang on, this could still play out? I mean, chief among those risks, as I sit here thinking of it, has to be Donald Trump. He in himself is a risk, and we've touched on that now in the way in which he can affect the market. But what else are you looking out for next year?
Yeah, I think the two of the big ones are, of course, I suppose three, as you say, Trump administration, geopolitical risks, the trajectory of inflation and interest rates is absolutely key. But maybe an additional risk as well is just the valuations as well. Some of the valuations specifically on the offshore companies are looking a little bit stretched. If you look at the S&P 500 in aggregate, just in terms of earnings, we are expecting a lot from US companies at the moment, and we're kind of trending towards the upper range of just valuations if you look in price earnings terms. So markets are a little bit expensive. I think a lot has been priced into the interest rate cuts, and if that doesn't materialize, I think you might get a correction. Even though you don't get a correction necessarily in the earnings of these companies, you might see a little bit of a price correction as well, and I do think that's a risk. And I think, you know, from a portfolio management point of view and from a, as you say, an asset management point of view, I follow a very blended approach. Obviously it depends on the portfolio that we're building, but I think having a little bit of value, looking for that, not just gearing yourself entirely towards growth at this stage, it could protect you next year. And certainly there are some companies that have pretty spectacular growth track records, but are not looking particularly expensive. But if you look at that kind of Mag 7 basket, you do see some pretty crazy valuations at the moment.
I was just coming to that, Gary, to say, are you saying that we need to be wary of the Mag 7 valuations? Because that would be a first. I mean, for the longest time throughout this year, every single time the Mag 7 has come up in conversation, the rhetoric has been exactly the same. The Mag 7 is carrying everybody, let them do their own thing, and it is what it is. But now we're finally getting to a point where potentially we could be questioning how much further the valuations can stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I think the Magnificent Seven as a group, yes, they are the mega cap segment of the market. They're absolutely enormous, but they are very, very different companies. So, we look at something like Nvidia as part of that group, and a lot of people, that we chat to, oh, but Nvidia's in a bubble, it can't continue like this, and they kind of equate it to the tulip mania and that. But the fact is, Nvidia, these are real sales that Nvidia is making. They are selling, they might have a fairly concentrated client base, but they are selling these chips, and these are real revenue numbers that are coming in for the firm. So if you think about it in the context of tulip mania, they're selling tulips at this stage, which is a pretty good place to be. at the same time, you look at something like Tesla as it moves into kind of full self-driving. You look at, the political positioning of Elon Musk at the moment, and it's difficult not to back that. But looking at a company like Apple, I'm a little bit more circumspect around something like Apple at the moment. I think we need to see real innovation coming out of Apple if you compare it as part of the basket. But yeah, as I said, if you go back to the valuations, these companies have pretty high expectations set on what they're going to do quarter by quarter, and they need to match them. Otherwise, you can easily see an unwind in the share price without necessarily a significant unwind in the underlying earnings figures.
Mm. Gary, when we're looking at valuations, I want to get your thoughts quickly on China valuations. Those have been on the receiving end of some serious negativity, and Whether or not that negativity is warranted is another story, especially with the Chinese stimulus and how that disappointing that's been and all of that. Where do you see Chinese valuations going into the new year? Obviously, understanding that part of it might be dependent on what China says themselves.
Now, it's interesting that you say that the Chinese stimulus has been disappointing, because I also get the sense that every time the Chinese authorities, every time Beijing stimulates, we all kind of go, oh, well, that wasn't enough. We were hoping for more. And we look at the market reaction to the stimulus and feel a little bit disappointed. But if you look at, when you look at the way that China stimulates the economy, they don't often give, quantitative numbers. It's really you've got to look at the messaging that's coming out of Beijing. And, for the longest time, their monetary policy has kind of been prudent. And prudent has been the way that they've described their monetary policy. They've now moved towards moderately loose monetary policy. And the last time this term was used in the Chinese context was the global financial crisis. So the stimulus measures that we're expecting from China are going to be very, very big. And yet the market is not, you feel the market has not been disappointed, it has been disappointed. Yet if we actually look at what has happened to, let's say, I always look at the FXI, which is the iShares China large cap ETF. If I look at that year to date, and I rebase it to US dollars, you look at it, the total return for that instrument is around 34% in US dollars. If you compare that to the NASDAQ, which has been one of the clearly best performing markets, that's up around 31% in US dollars at the moment. So China actually outperforming the NASDAQ year to date in 2024. S&P 500, that's up around 29.5%. MSCI World up about 22%. The JSE coming in at around 21.5%, which is pretty spectacular. Below that, you're going to find Germany, the Euro stocks, Australia, France. So Europe really underperforming. But China, with these stimulus measures and with their focus on equity markets, really has started to get it right, certainly in their large cap stocks. So if you go back to the valuations question, if you look at something like Alibaba compared to a US listed counterpart, I mean, there's no question these things are absolutely dirt cheap at the moment. And it really is that regulatory overhang and I suppose the opaque nature of Chinese securities that scares investors and makes them look at them and go, wait a minute, that's, I need to apply a significant discount based on let's say regulatory risk, for example. So there's no question China is really, really cheap. Now China has problems. Obviously there's demographic issues. I think the whole Chinese economy is also changing. The idea that you've always been a very infrastructure-led economy. It's moving more towards a service-driven economy as well. We are now expecting, Chinese-U.S. tensions to escalate as Donald Trump comes in on the 20th of January. So there are still a lot of risk factors around China. But if you just look at market pricing for 2024, it's actually been a great place to invest. So yeah, with that, it again comes down to valuations. If you buy something at a price that's reasonable enough, there will probably be upside.
Maybe we should stop putting so much pressure on China. Maybe that's our own fault. It's our fault for saying to China they should constantly outperform everybody else. And that's probably why we're disappointed by these stimulus packages. But we will leave the conversation there, Gary. Thank you so much for the time and for the insights. Thank you for your contributions throughout the year. I trust you and I will be speaking early into the new year as we look ahead to 2025. But for now, we'll leave the conversation there. Gary Boysen, Portfolio Manager and Director at Rand Swiss, on the market movements today, some of the risks going into the new year, and how markets might be seeing some of these tensions.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.